Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
Good morning, church. If you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to work our way a little further through. You want to tell them? 9:13 is the scripture. I'm just kidding there. I said that before. Scripture, what chapter is that? What book is that? 900, wow. So last week I talked to you about being prepared. And that is to be prepared to fight a spiritual battle, because the question last week I had for you was, how do you fight a battle when you are not prepared? And the answer is, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is you don't fight a battle. You cannot fight. If you are unprepared for anything in life you're trying to do, well, you won't be able to do that very thing. So it'll become a very serious, difficult task for you to engage in if you are not prepared. And so today we're going to focus more on adding to what we learned last week about how is it that we fight a spiritual battle that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. We know the world will cloak its ways of darkness, deceiving you with greater ease and frequency until you're walking hand in hand with the world if you are not prepared to engage into battle, what is going on. And so last week we talked about this idea of standing firm, about praying, about using scripture, that we would walk in a way that bring honor and glory to God. And I mentioned to you about distractions, that we have to be focused and deal with those distractions. I actually was talking, I sent a text to Chad earlier this week, and I backed off on this. I was actually going to have him walk around the place today while I was speaking to distract you, to throw you off your game a little bit, see if you're going to be able to focus. And thought, well, maybe that'd be too much for you all. But the fact is, if he were to do that, if he came up and sat up here or up here, because that's where I want him to come and sit up here, and we'd engage in a conversation and go back, and like, what in the world's going on? And you'd probably remember that more of the sermon than like, why did he do this again? What happened there? Because we get caught up in these distractions where someone does something or we get notified and stuff. But let's get into this here. Before we get into spiritual war, I wanted to just draw your attention to Daniel, because if you're still skeptical, like, well, I'm not so sure there's a battle taking place, we actually get to see a glimpse into the reality of this in Daniel chapter 10 of what happens. So this just drives home my case, what I'm trying to support of the unseen. But Daniel gets to hear about this. So Daniel's been praying, and then he said to me, "Fear not." This angel of the Lord came to him, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard." So he's talking about the very first time you started praying, your words have been heard to the throne of God. Isn't that wonderful to think of that? That when you speak, your words are heard to the throne of God. It's marvelous. He says, "I've come because of your words." So now this angel shows up because of this. "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come." Isn't that a marvelous scene? That he engages in a conversation and he's told, the first day you started praying, I made an attempt to come. But for 21 days, I was unable to. You have this heavenly scene of this battle, of this king of Persia coming and fighting, and Michael has to come, in essence, to free him. Incredible, but a scary scene, which leads us back into to Ephesians chapter 6. So last week I focused on standing. Stand firm. Stand against. You have to make a decision. If you're not going to be willing to stand against the culture, even when you're the only person, when you are on the island by yourself, if you're not going to do that, then this is all for naught. But if you're going to do that, then it's good. So let me read through this, and we'll talk about this and focus on a few other things. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not against flesh and blood, and pay attention here, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we're to stand firm. But now what we have is that Paul writes about this action we're to take. It's not that we just, you know, off and live life and don't think about things or do things. Paul gives us a task to take. And he says there for us to put on the whole armor of God. We are to put on. And see, the fact is that there's a battle taking place. And we are willing participants in the spiritual battle. So we must be willing to put on this armor to wrestle. And we're going to get into all the armor in just a moment. But you think about it, he says, put it on. But can you imagine, you know, if you're a fireman and you're like called to a fire and you decide that all you're going to wear that day is your helmet. You show up in shorts and a t-shirt and a helmet. A lot of good that's going to do you. Or can you imagine that, you know, you show up for your job site, you're a carpenter, but you don't take any tools with you. And you're all at the home to do the repairs and stuff. How do you operate? How do you function? Or if all you have is a hammer. So you have to take everything that you're supposed to take with you for those professions. And for what Paul writes about this spiritual war, he says you're to put on, that literally put on this imagery to get, putting on this armor of God. And he says this because in order to do this, we are able to then withstand or stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, you all read out loud, for we do not wrestle, this idea of wrestling. Let me ask this question, okay? So we're going to put on this armor and we're going to wrestle. Well, I can come down here and one of you can come down and we can get after and wrestle each other and all that stuff. Where are we supposed to wrestle? Where does this take place, this wrestling? See, the location of it. We're not spectators, we're participants in this wrestling against. But where does this happen? Does it happen here? Does it happen at Walmart? Where does it happen? And the reality is that it happens because our armor is not physical armor that we actually put on. But it happens, as he says here, in the heavenly places. Not heaven itself, not earth itself, but in heavenly places. What we get to see as a result of the enemy working in that is we get to see on earth the strife, the anger, the division, the hate, the immorality, and all those things. We get to see the end result of that. But Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Don't do that. So if we're going to wrestle, we are wrestling in a whole different realm. Well, it's hard to think about that, but that's the reality of what Paul says, that we do this in another location. So we are to wrestle where? In the heavenly places. And we put on this full armor. I said you pay attention to something. Listen to this. Listen carefully. Come back to this. So we're going to wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're going to wrestle against, now we get a list of who our enemy is. We're going to wrestle against rulers. We're going to wrestle against authorities. We're going to wrestle against cosmic powers. Now, if you ask me, that doesn't sound like a fun thing to do. To go against someone who's a ruler, to someone who has powers, someone who has authority. That we're going to go and wrestle in these heavenly places. But that's where the battle is, and that's what we're told to do. Because these cosmic powers and the authorities, they have power over this present darkness. So as Jim mentioned this morning about saying the Pledge of Allegiance and about our country and keeping the freedom and stuff, what do you have to do in order for that to take place? You have to stand guard. You have to pay attention to. You have to know the Constitution if you're going to defend the Constitution. If you know that someone's abusing that. Well, coming back to the Word of God, the truth of it is, if we don't know the Holy Scriptures, if we don't believe that this is taking place, that there is a battle, then we will succumb to it. The world will be overcome with darkness. That evil will have greater influence than we ever imagined. And so we can sit back sometimes and say, oh, whoa, and how terrible things are. But we play a part in this, a very important, powerful part. We're going to talk about putting on this armor, what it looks like, but it's not anything physical. It's metaphors for what we do, taking up what God desires for us. So, he says this. Therefore, so put on, take up. You again, you get this idea? All right? You go into your, wherever you have to go and put on this stuff. Take it up. Get after it. Take up the whole armor of God. Again, the whole armor of God. Not part of it, not a little bit of it, not some of it, not most of it. All of it, that you may be able to in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the, and having put on the, and as for your feet, having put on the, given by the gospel of peace. So now we're getting a description of what we're supposed to put on or take up. And that is this whole armor. And so if we do this, if we're willing to put this on, did you pay attention to what he says? What will happen? You will be able to withstand. So if I'm willing to put on, there's more to this. If I'm willing to put on all these things that he said so far, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes, right? All these things, then I will be able to withstand. Withstand what? The evil day. If I only put on a little bit of it, some of it, most of it, then I will not be able, I'll repeat again, I will not be able to withstand the evil day. I will not be able to do that. And so we have a responsibility to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand firm and stand against. But when we don't do that, we don't take this seriously. We think that all these things are this gradual progression of, oh, the world's just falling apart, yada, yada, yada. And what do? We end up complaining. We end up blending in. We end up giving in. We end up compromising. We end up kind of going along with the world just to be so that maybe people would come into our assembly and stuff. So we end up looking like and being part of. And the sad part about it, and that is, it even applies to us within the body of Christ. Be willing to put on this full armor. And let's read the rest of this. In, and that's pretty key, isn't it? Put on all of it. Put on, take up, whole armor of God in all circumstances. Take up the shield with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the and the, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. All circumstances, we are to do this. Now, one thing as we take up this, I want to focus on this shield of faith. What is it? Tell me, church, what is it the shield of faith does? It does what? Read, what is that? What does it do? Extinguish. It extinguishes the So the flaming darts, flaming arrows. So in times of warfare, get this image, right? You've seen this in the movies and stuff. What do they do? You have that back then with the technology, the arrow, you shoot that, right? Ooh, it's pretty good. But guess what? People put up shields and protect themselves from it. But then if you attach some heat to it, a flame to it, when it hits that wood, what happens that you're using for protection? Burns. So you imagine all those archers launching all those flaming darts, those flaming arrows. And what happens if that hits that shield and that person is going, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty interesting. And that flame is just spreading on the shield. What happens if the shield hit? It's destroyed. It's no good. And it's, if our enemy is shooting flaming darts, flaming arrows at us, and they are landing around us, and all we do is like, well, that's nice. Oops, get around that one there and stuff. Oh, I'll get around that one there. It's kind of getting hot there. Ooh, you know, and stuff like that. What's going to happen with these flames when they hit the ground and I've not done anything about them? Spreads. Spreads. What I'm telling you in that is the enemy will attack. And when the enemy attacks and you are not extinguishing those flames with the shield of faith, then those things, doubt, insecurity, immorality, anger, whatever the sin you may be struggling with, just grows and it grows and it grows and it will consume you. It will overtake you to where no longer are you shining for God, but those things are having its effect. So when it happens, extinguish, put it out. Don't allow it to spread. Don't allow it to go any further. And so we put on all of this armor in order that we may withstand the day of evil. Because if we don't, the enemy gets a foothold in our lives, and that is not what we want. And I love what he says here towards the end about the fact that we are to pray all the time in the Spirit. Keep alert with all perseverance. Hang in there. Don't let up. It's not going to be easy. So let me ask this question. So we talked about this on Wednesday night. What does that mean? To pray in the Spirit. We are told to pray in the Spirit. Now this is where it gets maybe a little uncomfortable. Where's this going to go? Where's this going to lead? Let me back you up to Romans. For those in Bible class who on Wednesday night, you'll remember this and stuff. But in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about this idea. And he says this. He said, if you go by the way of the flesh, if you set your mind on the flesh, well, you're moving in the wrong direction. As a matter of fact, if you live that way, then you cannot please God. God is not satisfied with you. But if you set your mind on the Spirit, then you can live accordingly. So I said the Bible class, well, it's easier. If I were to say to you, set your mind on the things of the flesh and stuff, that becomes easier. Set your mind on the Spirit. What do you set your mind on? The Holy Scriptures, the truth of who Jesus is, love, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the things that we need to be thinking about, dwelling upon. And that allows us to pray in the Spirit more fervently and consistently. Allows us to be more in tune so that we are praying all the time, without ceasing, aware of the attacks that are going on around us. And so let me summarize some of these things here that we talked about. So how do you fight spiritually? How is it that you engage the enemy spiritually? Well, first thing is you have to believe that there's a spiritual battle. We talked about that. And then you need to be prepared. You have to take this seriously. And there will be distractions, but you cannot allow those distractions to get the better of you. You have to focus and stay focused where you need to be. Pray. Prayer is the greatest weapon that we have. All the things that go on around us, all the things that happen, we can be involved and we can get involved in certain things, but I cannot change your heart, nor can you change mine. But we know God can change hearts. God can change minds. Why shouldn't we use this great avenue of praying in the Spirit. So if it starts coming to you where you're getting upset about something that's going on in the world, stop right there and think about it and pray about that situation. Pray for that individual. Pray for whatever it is. Pray about it fervently, passionately. And then I talked about putting on this whole armor, to take it out, to put on everything. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and the shoes for the readiness of the gospel of peace. All of these things, you get this idea, what? Of a warrior for Christ, ready to engage the enemy in battle. And we do these things to be willing to stand firm. We should not be surprised by the evil that is in the world. We should be surprised by a lack of seriousness by those who claim to be Christian but don't take this as truth. Why so much fighting in the world? Because there's evil. Why so much fighting within the body of Christ? Because we allow the enemy to get a foothold. We have a flaming dart. Instead of dealing with that, putting water on that and stepping on that and burying that, we just let it grow and let it grow to the point where it causes divisions, causes fractions, causes rivalry and all that stuff. Stand firm. Take this stuff seriously because we are called to live differently. How can we stand against the world? How can we live in this present evil and darkness if we are not living by the power of the Spirit, engaged in the way that God desires for us to be? But the enemy's good. The enemy's very good. Because too often we think it's just this attack. You know, as I described last week about that guy who was trying to knock me in the water, I can see that coming. But what about if I'm standing here and somebody runs behind me and pushes me off the stage? I never saw that happen. I can't stand firm against that. And that's what the enemy is going to do. The enemy will sneak up, go around you. So while I may be looking this way, put on that full armor and be willing to engage the enemy. Because if I'm not willing to do that, then I will be shocked, I will be surprised, and I will have difficulty standing where I need to be. So subtlety is his wonderful way of working. I have a quote here from C.S. Lewis. And I mentioned Wednesday night about this. If you ever read the Screwtape Letters, the book, you got to read that. It's a fascinating read. It's wonderful. C.S. Lewis, in his brilliant apologetics mind, writes from the perspective of a senior demon called Screwtape. He's an uncle of this inferior demon, trying to give him advice about what to do to trip up the enemy. The enemy would be God, and the enemy would be us if we believe in God. And he says this, I quote, "Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Your affectionate uncle, Screwtape." In other words, don't do a frontal attack where the enemy can recognize that. Have it slope gently towards hell. Have it smooth underfoot that you don't recognize. Just walking that way, you're heading that way. That's a great tactic of the enemy. And if we're honest with ourselves, every one of us sometimes caught ourselves going like, holy, what am I doing? What's going on here? And so my encouragement to all of you, my plea to all of you, and that is to engage the enemy and to be willing to engage in spiritual warfare. It is real. It is not something that is made up. The enemy is fighting against us, and we see the results of that. For us to stand firm in this life, to change hearts and minds, we can't do it, but God can, using us. That being said, we always offer an invitation. The invitation is twofold. One is to receive the prayer. So maybe you're going through a struggle and you'd like to see the church pray for you for the struggle and the issues you're going through. We love to pray for you. We love to encourage you, love to help you. Or maybe today is the day that you decide to put on Christ in baptism, to repent of your ways and to turn to God and to say, yes, I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And because of that, you're ready to be baptized into Christ and to live a life for him. Decision is yours. So if you've not made that decision today, I would pray that you would do so. And if you need the prayers of the church, I would pray that you would be willing to come forward and seek that. We are family. We want to be united in our cause for Christ. So as we engage in a spiritual battle, we can live victoriously for him. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Won't you come as we stand and sing?